And here's your prescription.
I know just the pharmacy to get this filled.
Who are you?
A pharmacy benefit manager. A middleman your insurer uses to decide which medicines you can get, what you pay, and sometimes even which pharmacy you should go to.
Why can't I go to a pharmacy in my neighborhood?
Because I make more money when you go to a pharmacy I own.
No one should stand between you and your medicine. Visit phrma.org/middleman to learn more. Paid for by Pharma.
We're coming, and we ain't backing down.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror.
Everybody do your job! You understand that?
Hey, will you shut up?
I'm bitterly disappointed with the officiating today.
Guys being dudes.
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man.
Thank you, Lee. I know what you're thinking. It's a lot of crucifix. It's like a lot. It's pretty prominent. I didn't really think about it. I didn't really think this through. But you know what? When you're 2-0 and you build a makeshift, possibly, you know, was sacrilegious shrine to getting your football team back into the playoffs, I'm not going to touch it now. I might add to it. If you see prayer candles up there next week, don't ask. Don't ask. You know what I'm doing. It's my soul that's damnated. Okay? It's my soul that's going to be, I don't know, probably watching a terrible team for eternity. My name is Stephen Godfrey. This is The Single Wing. Welcome to a side of my office you've never seen before because I'm trying to put all this in video. This is what happens when a 42-year-old complies with the ideas of a bunch of Gen Z new media folks. You get a very, very perturbed man on camera, staring into lights, trying not to look at himself. Oh, that's the camera. Where's my eye line? I'm in a great mood. I'm in a fantastic mood. splitzoneduo.com. Sign up for Meshpoint. I'm not going to plug it too much more, but Alex has started Meshpoint. I'll be jumping in there at some point. Richard will be jumping in there at some point. Very fantastic. It's good work. I don't know why I got Trumpy there. Very fantastic. Very, very good. I don't have a ton to plug. You should know it by now. If this is your first time, please visit patreon.com. You see, I flip my wedding ring around. Sometimes people will say, oh, you're messing with your ring. You must have just gotten married. Nope. 13 years next month. 13 years. This ring, we're already off to a banger start. I'm already way off my show notes. This ring right here, this is my wedding ring, spent 10 months under a slab of cement or just buried in the yard and then was returned to me. So I can't remember. Which is, I guess, part of the joke. I can't remember which saint it is you pray to when you lose something. I know there's a saint that you bury upside down to sell your house. I know that there's a saint of pets. I remember, like, the cop one was Michael, Saint Michael the Archangel, because I grew up in a cop house. But anyways, I think it's Saint Anthony that you pray to. Anyways, this ring was completely lost, and one day, I had an old driveway at my house, the kind that had two cement strips, like really old. It's like from I think it was poured in the 50s, that we were ripping up, and we were getting like a proper, you know, this millennium driveway because I'm fancy. And, I get a knock on the door. Guy is there covered in like dirt or whatever. And I was in this room, go downstairs. I was like, I don't know what's going on. He's trying to talk to me, doesn't speak English. I am a white male from the South, so of course I don't speak a foreign language. Anyway, he basically just holds this up. It had been gone, I thought long gone, for 9 months, and it had fallen and was wedged under a decaying piece of cement. And I was running inside during a rainstorm walking my dog years ago. And the ring fell off or something like that, or the leash pulled it off. I don't know. Anyways, it was gone. I assumed it was gone. 9-10 months, you just assume something's gone. And then he knocked on the door and just literally went like this. And it was my ring. So I'm probably now never going to lose it. I will flip it when I drive. It will fall under the seat of my car, rental car. Sometimes I'll have to go fish it out. I it's a terrible habit. I do it all the time. Now that I'm on camera, you can see it. It'll be like a month and a half before I'm comfortable with this. And that's a lie. It'll be a month and a half before I just stop derailing myself because of the recording software. I'm watching this and trying to edit in real time. And I used to be a writer. I used to put words on paper. Not good, but that's all I had to do. And then I would just go home. I swear to God. How many times do you think this logo is going to flip off my TV? Do you think it's going to like blink out? I bet you it happens once in this show. Okay. I don't have anything else to plug. Big show this week is going to be a lot of Pac-12. Wrote a column about the Pac-12 over in the Washington Post for obvious reasons if you've checked a schedule. I want to talk very briefly today about, even though I just did 2 solid minutes on my wedding ring, I could do my Fitbit too if you'd like. I want to nip a meme in the bud. I don't know if it's a meme so much as it's a misconception. Some of you youth, or just some of you misinformed, have been attempting a comparison between the nascent 2023, don't know why I did that, season with 2007. If you are not familiar with 2007 and you just like wiki it real fast, you're going to be like, oh, okay, it was like a BCS year and okay, LSU beat Ohio State in the Sugar Bowl. Okay, what? Okay, no, no, no. 2007 is the reason you don't define college football seasons by what happens in the championship game. That's the worst way to do it. And here's why. This is throughout the entire season. In 2007, there were 9 teams that ranked number 2 at one point. There was a cursed position in number 2. 9 in the AP or the BCS standings, okay? This is why it was the weirdest season ever. These were the 9 teams. Cal, that Cal. USF. Boston College, Matt Ryan. Kansas. West Virginia. Now, there were some other schools in there that you wouldn't shock you, like USC, LSU, Oregon, Georgia, Ohio State, Oklahoma. Then you also had Missouri. Going into the final week of the season, going into the final, it was like half, you would call it kind of regular season week because it was in December and some conferences had title their championship games and then some just had regular season games. Okay, going into that, if you had just simmed through and one played two, your national championship that year would have been Missouri versus West Virginia. That's the kind of year it was. So I don't know how to give you the URL because, of course, there wasn't like a simplified version of it. It's buried somewhere in the old SB Nation archives, but we all dug in on this a couple years ago and wrote a series, just a group of connected stories about 2007, about how weird it was. So that's the 13-9 backyard brawl game, okay? That's like the biggest border war game between Kansas and Missouri ever. That's Nick Saban and Alabama losing to Louisiana Monroe, okay? That is maybe the best Florida LSU game ever. That is, that might piss some people off. I don't know. This is, I'm trying to think what else we have. The fun thing about being on video is it looks like I'm staring at my crotch. I'm actually reading my notes. This is going to go so great, and I'm very excited about it. Hawaii went to the Sugar Bowl. Okay. Hawaii went to the Sugar Bowl. That happened. App beat Michigan. That was that year. It was the debut of the Big Ten Network. All these things, same year. Okay. So it was awesome, and I highly encourage you to go check it out. But this is not 2023. We're having some fun right now, guys. We're having some fun, and we feel the need to put a label on the fun. We also just have some plain old uncertainty. So going into this weekend, as I'm recording this, we don't know about Georgia. They've started slow. That's fine. They were sluggish with South Carolina. Also fine. Still winning national titles doing that, okay? We don't know about Michigan by proxy or by virtue of the fact that I haven't seen their head coach on the field and they've played shitty teams, okay? We don't really know about Ohio State or Notre Dame. They're going to play each other this weekend. So there's no reason to think that our playoff four, for the last time that there is a playoff four, is going to be some sort of weird or unique thing. Now, I would like it to be. I know you would like it to be. It's nothing against teams that have been in there and won multiple titles in the playoff era. Your Bamas, your Georgias, your Clemsonses. It has nothing to do with that. It just is variety. That's it. That's all we want. We want to see something different. So could that be Texas who beat Alabama? Maybe. Would would people who don't necessarily have a partisan, you know, vantage point, a dog in the hunt in the Big Ten, like to see maybe it's Penn State this time instead of Ohio State or Michigan? Sure, sure. But we don't know. They you know, they're beating up on P5 teams. They're just not P5 teams that anyone respects. So, you know, it's not West Virginia. It's not, you know, Illinois. They're going to go to Iowa this weekend. So we'll know. We'll have a better idea. Hence the idea that we just need to maybe take a step back on this whole 2007 thing. Oh, there goes the logo. Told you it would do it at some point. I'm having a great time on video, if you couldn't tell. I'm really excited that this is my life now. Whew, just write for money. I would write, and they would give me money. That was it. I don't know what happened. College football, sports. College football is our sport. Sports, I think, is the only place where you find this need to define the thing as it happens. Could be wrong, but I think I'm right. The way that we talk about our seasons in sports, so especially this one where you have 9 months of pent up speculation and excitement and anxiety and all this kind of stuff. And in our sport, we're in a state of perpetual existential dread because so much changes so often. So you have this buildup. And then you just like can't seem to sit still. You can't seem to just let it play out. If I took you to a 2.5 hour movie and then somehow in the theater was able to pause it every 15 minutes, and then we decide the summary of the story being told, that would seem inaccurate and very foolhardy, would it not? And yet that's what we do. That's what we do. We're trying to fill a space. We're trying to fill a space. It's in a lot of ways, other than just money, the genesis of, oh, I hope this leather chair that I'm sitting in, which is a terrible idea, I hope that's picking up on audio. I don't know if you could credit the neutral site kickoffs as an answer to this, but it certainly helps because a lot of people are like, hey, look, I don't know in the 90s if Florida's going to be national title good and they're playing crappy teams for 3 weeks before Tennessee. I get that. I think it had a lot to do with it. We are, but there are also so many teams we've talked about who are starting new quarterbacks, new personnel, new head coach, new whatever, new conference, new, who probably need to beat on Idaho or somebody for a week. They probably, like, they didn't need, you know, I don't think Navy really wanted to go to Ireland this year. Okay. Just throwing that out there. Navy probably needed Wagner first. Just a thought. We are so unsettled by uncertainty in the sport because it's forced on us from the outside, from the managers, the stakeholders, the money people, the administrators, all of our villain roles, all of the black hats, that we, the protagonists, the fans and the players and the people we think are the churning engine of this thing, we can't sit still and enjoy it anymore. And it's not just like, this isn't a rant because people have said, oh, this is like 2007. It's like 2000. No, this is like 2023. It's not going to end up like that. Not even close. There's not enough uncertainty and churn at the top yet. I'll come back and eat these words in 2 weeks. If you start to see 1, 2, and 3 drop, 1, 2, and 3 drop, 1, 2, and 3 drop. I think the shades of 2007 might be evident in the fact that none of us feel good about anyone right now. If all or most of the smart people in this industry are saying, I think the best team might be Washington, no offense to the Huskies whatsoever, it's a weird fucking year. It's a weird year. If we're all sitting around thinking that the best team in college football is Washington. Again, national title winner since I've been alive. It's not a slight. It's just that we really couldn't have fathomed that a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago. If that persists, and if you're looking for a recipe, I suppose I can give it to you. What you would need is you would need some combination right now of Georgia, Michigan, and another top six or seven team eating it immediately. And then as someone crawls up the following week, say it's Washington or USC, they eat it, and then so on, and then so on, and so on. And what happens, or at least by 2007 standards, is that over time, the mediocrity creates enough churn to where it's riveting and weird and wild television, but at the end of it, you got to pick four teams. In 2007, you had to pick two, which was tougher and weirder and ultimately just so subjective that you'll shrug and do it. This is all a fantastic advertisement for playoff expansion, which we're getting anyway. I'm just not sold yet on the idea that some of the teams I'm kind of sick of won't snap into form. We're not at a place where I could still look in this camera, which I think is right there, and tell you that I don't think the national title game will be anything other than Michigan and Georgia. You would like to see a Texas. You would like to see a Penn State, only if you're just looking for variety at the top end. You would love to see a Washington. Like, I can give you a playoff four that is unique, but I do that every year. I picked Iowa State to go to the playoff 3 years ago. Not because of a troll. Well, not entirely because of a troll. And not because I'm ignorant. Not entirely because I'm ignorant. But because I'm striving for something unique to happen in this format. And it hasn't really happened a ton in this format. The BCS was worse. I think that's why we all sort of pine for the expansion of the playoffs. So the greater message here is we are so far away from having the knowledge we need to even forecast a couple weeks ahead. There are weeks like that that happen. We're going to have a good one. We're about to have a good one, but there are still so many other unexpected things that can happen. So let the movie play out. It's very strange to me. And I've had a lot of, you know, the reason I picked the topic this week was because I've had a lot of people say, isn't this like 2007? Isn't this like this or that? No, this is going to be 2023. We don't know how far the Colorado supernova is going to go. We don't know if, consequently, how far Alabama is going to fall. I understand how Vegas works, and I certainly understand the University of Mississippi, but an 11.5 point line seems so strange going into this weekend, given the feckless offense of the Crimson Tide. We shall see if Alabama has two losses before October 1st. We shall see. There's plenty to speculate about. We don't need to put a label on it yet. Please try to enjoy this thing as it unfolds. You're looking for homework for this before we go jump over to the Patreon side of things. And I ask a bunch of questions, patreon.com/SZD. Thank you for your patronage. Don't worry about 2007. Try and figure out what is going to make this the most 2023 that it can be. How can it be the most of its moment? And then also maybe a challenge even for myself is what of this format, both in the postseason and the conference alignments and everything that we have now that we won't have next year. And then for the other, you know, for the years following, what would be the best thing that could occur, not for Schadenfreude or, you know, an anger at the way things are going, although if you're angry, I get it, but what would be the most fun and truly entertaining thing that could happen within these parameters? You know, could it be something very chalky and very reminiscent of how the top has been so static during the playoff era? And then that all falls apart. We get a bunch of new faces in at the last minute. You know, would it be that an era, I keep saying an era or a generation, I'm talking about the playoff 2014 on, dominated by the SEC, essentially can't produce an SEC, you know, a playoff caliber SEC team. It's possible. It's not likely, but it's possible that you could find a way to split at the top where you've got a two-loss division champion, probably from the west side in this scenario, beating a one-loss Georgia. It's possible. I mean, And then that paves the way maybe for 2-1 loss or, you know, something like that from the Big Ten. And then you throw in like a USC and a Texas and you call it a day. It's possible. Or does the unthinkable happen, at least unthinkable right now, which is that LSU snaps into form, Georgia's Georgia. Suddenly you have a real push for 3 candidates this year. Figure out. You tell me. Go to the comment section next week in the open thread, and you tell me what, you know, what you want to see in terms of the weirdest possible swan song for the 4-team format for everything else. It's not 2007, folks. It's not 2007 yet. Look, I would love it if ULM beat Alabama again. I don't think they're on the schedule. I would love to see USF at number 2, but I don't think that's going to happen either. All right. We'll see the rest of you on Patreon. Patreon.com/SZD. It was a Clinton thumb. I hate being on video. I'm working on it. Thank you for bearing with me. I'll see the rest of you on the big show this week.